David Bowie and Strangers When We Meet, preceded by Kid Creole and the Coconuts on the food and drink theme, and I'm a Wonderful Thing, baby. Baby. 17 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Champagne sales plunged last year as coronavirus lockdown stymied tourism and shut bars, says the local France, according to the Trade Association. It wasn't really a champagne year last year, was it?
Was it not? Do you not have much champagne?
I can only remember having one bottle of champagne last year.
At Christmas, was it?
No. We did have one at Christmas, so
two.
Yeah. No, I had one when it was confirmed that Donald Trump had been kicked out of the White House. Seemed like a good celebration. Sales of the sparkling wine fell by 18% to 250 million bottles worldwide, said the Comité Champagne, that includes producers and distributors. The head of the organisation said it was a dark year, but we managed the crisis by limiting output. He estimated losses of around €1 billion less than 2019, but cautioned the numbers had not yet been finalised. It was the first time in 50 years that exports fared better than domestic sales. The health crisis is not like other crises, he said, before explaining the drop in sales was not the result of falling consumer confidence in France. Rather, it was the loss of traditional outlets like bars and restaurants that had hurt the most. Now, Maxime Toubar, the head of the main body of Champagne Vintners, the SGV, added that in June they'd anticipated a fall of 30% in sales and hailed innovative efforts such as direct online sales for limiting the damage. The sector decided in July to substantially limit production to support prices and was able to maintain the product's value as a result. Yeah, the bottle of champagne we had at Christmas is the one Prince Albert gave me.
Very nice too.
Very, very nice. Yes. Absolutely delicious. Pop quiz time, Thursday morning.
Certainly is, and it's 1984 when in the UK British coal miners began their strike to protest the closing down of mines by Thatcher's government. A spitting image was aired on UK television for the first time. The Apple Macintosh computer went on sale. Lionel Richie's single Hello topped the UK charts and remained there for 6 weeks, and it was of course a year of Band-Aid and Do They Know It's Christmas. But one of the biggest bands of the year was in the UK...
Duran Duran.
No, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Their debut single, Relax, was banned by the BBC for sexually suggestive content.
Really?
And was number one for 5 weeks. Yes, do you not remember this? But, well, if you don't remember this, but which BBC Radio 1 DJ expressed...
Simon Bates.
No.
Mike Reed.
Yes. He expressed on air his distaste for both the record's suggestive sleeve and its lyrics. He announced his refusal to play the record, not knowing that the BBC had decided that the song was not to be played on the BBC anyway. And a producer produced by Trevor Horn, the song remained on the chart for 48 weeks. 48 weeks. Question number two. Wham had their first number one single in the UK with which song?
Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Correct. And finally, after 18 years, Stevie Wonder achieved his first solo number one single with I Just Called to Say I Love You from the soundtrack of the film The Woman in Red, selling over a million. He had his first charted song at the age of 15 with Uptight, Everything's All Right in 1966, and had previously had a number one in 1982. What was it?
Master Blaster?
No, it was a duet.
Oh, with Paul McCartney?
Yes.
Ebony and Ivory.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well done. That's three in a row. That's a hat trick.
What was the first question then?
Mike Reed.
Oh.
Well, you said Simon Bates first.
Well, one of the two. Had to be, didn't it? How disgusting. This will never be played on my programme.
I hated that song.
Did you?
Yes.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rain, 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 rain.
Beautiful rain. It's a lovely song. Are you talking about outside or are you talking in the markets?
Outside.
Yeah, it's been pouring with rain the last few days. The snow has disappeared and it's been, we've been deluged with a significant amount of rain. But we're okay because we're not doing anything or going anywhere.
England in January, not my favourite place at this time of year.
No, especially this January, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Okay, well, it was raining on the markets yesterday as well. Big falls on Wall Street, so investors showing agitation at the pace of COVID-19 vaccine distribution. And although it was expected, the Fed's comments weren't particularly appreciated either.
No, I think that sums up quite nicely. Saw a sell-off in stock markets yesterday. In fact, the US stocks dropped the most since October. Investors moving to risk-off mode as they reacted to the dire pandemic numbers and concerns over the speed of the vaccine rollout that could hinder the road to normalization, encouraging investors perhaps to rethink the speed of the recovery, certainly making them nervous against the backdrop of the extraordinary rally that we've seen in equity markets since the March low. S&P 500 up, remember, somewhere around 70%. S&P 500 was down 2.57% yesterday. Nasdaq was down 2.6%. The dollar jumped and Treasury yields slipped. Similar picture in Europe emerging. Stock 600 generating its worst day in 5 weeks. This is as the EU and AstraZeneca fell out over vaccine delivery delays. The euro fell off. The European Central Bank said they're underestimating the odds of a rate cut. Germany cut its 2021 growth forecast to 3% from 4.4%. UK announced new quarantine rules, suggested the national lockdown will last well into March. So lots of the markets to digest. Certainly a weaker feel coming through markets this week, and that's going to continue today. Currently calling FTSE down 52 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 52 points. CAC current in Paris down 28 points.
OK, let's dissect the Fed's meeting in a little more detail. You've got a scalpel there?
Yeah, let's do it. Fed kept interest rates unchanged, no surprise there, near zero. Said it would maintain its bond buying program at the current rate, that's $120 billion per month, till substantial further progress towards its inflation and employment goals are achieved. What they did highlight was the fact that the US recovery has been moderating. The Fed, like other policymakers, have been keeping a close eye, we know, on healthcare progress and fiscal support as well. So we wait to see exactly how those two elements play out. There's certainly lots of encouragement on the fiscal side. In terms of vaccination, there's been some signs it's been perhaps a little bit slower than some analysts had been anticipating. But the still hope is that we'll get to herd immunity by the third quarter. We recently raised our growth forecast for the US economy, 6.3% this year. I think unemployment will fall back to 4%. That's on the expectation that that vaccine program will indeed play out. But there are downside risks to that. One of which, of course, is new COVID variants and vaccination delays may prolong the time to herd immunity and further weigh on activity. And, of course, Senate moderates on both sides of the aisle may further water down that stimulus bill. What does it mean in terms of the outlook for Fed policy? I think the Fed likely to keep rates on hold through 2023. Asset purchases continue at the current pace through this calendar year, followed by tapering and the end of the asset purchase program by the end of 2022.
Gosh, you're on the money this morning, aren't you?
I'm up for it today.
Got your boiler working yet, have you?
Boiler's working, lots of heat, we're in good shape.
Excellent. Right, Apple, you got an iPhone 12 yet?
I haven't got an iPhone. No. I think I'm on iPhone 7, to be honest with you, so I don't know who's got money for all these things, but certainly many people have, lots of them in China, it would appear. Apple posted a record profit, quarterly sales and profits beating Wall Street estimates as new 5G iPhones helped to push handset revenue, sparked a 57% rise in Chinese sales. Sales to the quarter that ended in December jumped 21%, came in at $111 billion, well ahead of market expectations. Market was looking for something closer to $103 billion. Pandemic hit consumers, increased demand for iPads and Mac computers. iPhone sales was really the highlight, though, came in at $65 billion. Customers upgrading their handsets to those iPhone 12 Pro, which they said sold very well. Number of active devices Apple have in the marketplace at the moment, 1.65 billion in the first quarter, quite incredible. iPad sales were up, saw strong growth in its services segment. Remember, that's App Store, iTunes, Apple Music and iCloud. Apple wearables doing well. That's watches, home speakers and AirPods. Growth in all major regions, but sales in China jumped $21 billion from 13.6 a year ago. Market reaction I thought was quite interesting, actually. Shares fell 3%. You often find this with Apple, it has to be said. A good run-up into the results and a bit of a sell-off, regardless of what the numbers really tell you. But there was a cautious outlook from the company, saying that wearables will decelerate in the current quarter. Services face a tougher comparable. Apple stock, remember, was up 20% in the 3 months going into the results, so perhaps a little bit of profit taking there.
I'd like to know what Apple's carbon footprint is. It's probably bigger than yours.
Mine's very low these days, to be honest with you. Don't drive, don't travel, don't go on a plane.
That's, I mean, with Joe Biden making big noises about climate change, then some of this consumerism presumably is going to have to be reined in within the next 20 years or so.
Well, two elements really for them to think about under a Biden administration. Number one, big tech. Will they face much more regulatory oversight? That's certainly been one aspect to the policy position the new administration appears to be taking, as you quite rightly point out. The other aspect is around sustainability and climate change and some challenges around that, which could feature through to many companies, including the technology ones.
And you better watch your step next time you come to Monaco, old boy.
Why is that?
Well, you know, you've been obsessing the hedge funds, haven't you, with your Reddit page?
Not me, but there's an interesting battle taking place between Main Street and Wall Street as retail investors take on the hedge funds. As you say, social media users, particularly from Reddit, have been encouraging investors to take on the hedge funds that have been shorting stocks. This means that they've been betting that shares will go down. Reddit users particularly have been focusing on GameStop. Its share price has risen dramatically from $20, I think, on the 11th of January to $146. So if you've been betting it's going to go down, then clearly you've taken a very big hit on the back of that. So some excitement around the social media space about how they can start to influence stocks. Be interesting to see if this is a theme that continues to develop or burns out, and investors take a dangerous approach to their to the way in which they get money into the market.
Well, as Niels Pratley said in The Guardian this morning, if you think trading in Bitcoin is volatile, you should should have a go at that. But I mean, on a serious note, I mean, could it affect the way that hedge funds operate generally?
Well, we're in the very early days of this as a phenomenon, it has to be said. So whether this is a trend that continues, the question is, of course, it can swing back the other way quite quickly. And I think actually GameStop shares have been down somewhere around about 15% in the last session. So the firepower of many of these investors who are jumping on board will probably be limited. And no doubt some will be sucked in at the wrong time and may end up with some heavy losses. So I think you have to be incredibly careful to participate within this process. Fundamental investing is a much better way to navigate through economic and political uncertainty. These type of trading activities are incredibly speculative, and investors and hedge funds, dare I say, could get hurt in the process. Probably hedge funds are in much better position to deal with that pain than amateur investors.
Absolutely. I mean, Pratley said that it's going to be an almighty crash when it eventually comes tumbling down, and if you get caught in at the top, you could stand to lose your house.
Exactly right. So I think, yeah, you need to be focused on companies' fundamentals. Short-term markets can do a range of weird and wonderful things, but exactly, you don't want to be holding the parcel when the music stops on this one.
A halfpenny wisely invested in the bank, etc., etc., yes.
Quite right.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.36 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.21. You're going to get €1.13 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Pot from Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
A 37-year-old man heavily under the influence of alcohol has been hit by a vehicle on the RD562. The incident occurred shortly after 8 p.m. on Wednesday evening in Callien. Witnesses say that the victim was zigzagging between vehicles before being hit. Seriously injured, emergency services airlifted him to hospital. Traffic was severely disrupted in the area. In other news, a restaurant owner in Nice has been placed in police custody, reportedly not for opening his restaurant during the current restrictions, but for an employee without correct paperwork. Owner Christophe Wilson opened his establishment on Wednesday lunchtime in protest against the closure of restaurants and as an act of resistance. Customers were served food and displayed their support for the restaurant owner. When interviewed by local reporters, many openly displayed their scepticism about the very existence of COVID, saying that the epidemic does not exist, with others even underestimating the effects, claiming there are not that many deaths. Police intervened and then left as customers declared their victory and sang the Marseillaise. It's not the first time that the restaurant owner has taken action. At the end of last November, he opened his establishment in protest during the second lockdown in France. As the French government decide the next move to contain the spread of COVID in France, a meeting held yesterday with the head of state and the scientific council has revealed that the current 6pm curfew introduced across France is not enough to slow down the spread. Speaking on Wednesday, government spokesperson Gabriel Attal said that a range of different scenarios are being considered, from what he called an unlikely maintenance of the current framework to very tight confinement. The Director General of Health will give an update on the circulation of the virus today. Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron is to take part in a meeting at 11am this morning on treatment against COVID-19. The objective of the meeting is to take stock of the progress in research and clinical trials in the face of the COVID pandemic. An investigation has been opened after police officers in Seine-Saint-Denis organised a leaving do for a fellow colleague despite the current 6pm curfew in France. A video of the evening was broadcast online, showing police officers partying in the police station without masks or social distancing. Several police unions have refused to comment on the images, while the mayor, Karine Francelet, hopes that the participants will be sanctioned. The Monaco government has extended all current health measures until February the 19th, and the restrictions are in force since January the 11th. The government said that the circulation of the virus is still active in the principality, and although the incidence rate has stabilised, it remains very high at 400 positive cases per 100,000 inhabitants over a seven-day period. The government said that it should be remembered that the large number of positive cases is linked to the rise in the number of tests carried out, but it's necessary to remain vigilant. Hospital services in the principality are not saturated, but are subject to increasing demand. France's delegation to road safety has announced that from February the 1st, two-wheelers will no longer be allowed to circulate between vehicles. Results have shown that following an experiment on certain roads throughout France, where this widespread practice was authorised, accidents increased by 12%. Due to the disappointing accident toll, the conclusion from the report does not allow road authorities to integrate interlane traffic into the highway code. The Cannes Film Festival has been postponed because of the health situation. The festival was scheduled to take place from the 11th to the 22nd of May this year, but organisers say it will now be held from July the 6th to the 17th. And finally, Yannick Bestaven, the 48-year-old French skipper, is the overall winner of the 9th edition of the Vendée Globe. Charlie Dalin and Louis Berton also take second and third place. The German skipper Boris Herrmann on Sea Explorer of the Yacht Club of Monaco was doing well in the last hours of the race on Wednesday, but unfortunately collided with a fishing boat just ahead of the finishing line. Sailing in third position on Wednesday evening and some 90 miles from the finishing line of the Vendée Globe off the Sable d'Olonne, Herrmann said he had damaged the starboard board foil but had managed to secure the boat and is now heading towards the finishing line at low speed and is expected to arrive in the coming hours. You can follow the arrival of competitors on vendeeglobe.org.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Football, six games in English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester United missed a chance to take over from Manchester City at the top of the table in this season's title race. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's team were at home to the bottom club Sheffield United and the visitors got a 2-1 victory. Oliver Burke got the decisive goal 20 minutes from time. The BBC's Vicky Sparks was at Old Trafford.
A huge, huge win for Chris Wilder and Sheffield United. They beat Manchester United by 2-1. That 13-game run without defeat in the Premier League is over for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side, and it is over to the bottom club, Sheffield United, taking them on to 8 points for the season. Just 8 points, but how precious could this win be?
Third place Leicester City drew 1-1 at Everton, who'd taken the lead at Goodison Park through James Rodriguez. Leicester's equaliser came from Yuri Tielemans after a mistake by Everton's England keeper Jordan Pickford. Thomas Tuchel couldn't make it a winning start as Chelsea's new manager. In his first game in charge, they were held 0-0 at home by Wolves. And these were his thoughts after the game.
I was very happy performance-wise. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it to score, which was possible and well-deserved. But it's like this in football. If we take care about our performance like this, the results will come, I'm absolutely sure.
Brighton and Fulham drew 0-0. Brighton remained 5 points above the relegation places. Fulham remained third bottom. And Burnley had a 3-2 victory over Aston Villa, the winner from Chris Wood. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Well, 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 well.
What was that?
Yeah. Vicky Sparks sounded excited, didn't she?
She certainly did.
Sounded like she just won the lottery. There's one game tonight. Spurs play Liverpool.
Don't.
I don't know. Come on.
Prediction? I don't think so. With everything that's going on, no. I think it's going to be a home win.
We did score a couple of goals against Manchester United on Sunday, so you've rediscovered your touch in front of goal, but it's a tough one, isn't it? I'm going to go on. Come on, Liverpool.
Okay.
Come on. In the English Championship last night, Barnsley and Cardiff drew 2-2. Coventry beat Sheffield Wednesday 2-0. Middlesbrough lost 3-0 at home to Rotherham. And Swansea and Brentford drew 1-1. In the Scottish Premiership, Dundee United were thrashed 5-1 at home by St Mirren. Motherwell were 2-1 winners at Ross County. St Johnstone and Aberdeen drew 0-0. Celtic beat Hamilton 2-0. Rangers 1-0 winners at Hibs. And Livingston beat Kilmarnock 2-0. Formula One, Carlos Sainz has said his first Ferrari test on Wednesday was unforgettable. Sainz joined Ferrari at the end of last season as replacement for Sebastian Vettel. He completed more than 100 laps at Ferrari's Fiorano track on Wednesday, but only at the wheel of the team's 2018 model, owing to Formula One testing restrictions. He'll drive the car again this morning before Mick Schumacher takes over this afternoon. Schumacher will make his Formula One debut for Haas this season. And cricket, it's day three of the first test between Pakistan and South Africa in Karachi. And South Africa really under the cosh. The tail wagged big time for Pakistan this morning. And they were finally bowled out for 378. In reply, South Africa 26 without loss, trailing Pakistan by 132 runs. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle of Maritime in Navarre. The general situation is a depression 1,011 millibars over the Ligurian Sea and an anticyclone 1,025 millibars stationary over Portugal. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, partially cloudy, force 6 to 7 westerly winds, moderate to rough seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, partially cloudy, force 6 to gale, force 8 southwesterly winds, rough seas and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Partially cloudy again today with a moderate northwesterly winds. Top temperature 13 degrees. Overnight lows 8 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Friday and the stars the weekend. Partially cloudy tomorrow with a high of 19 degrees. But with a brisk westerly wind developing. Partially cloudy on Saturday with a high of 14. Better get your bikini out.
It's looking that way, yeah. Isn't it? Might even go for a dip. Oh. Brain fade. People in their 20s are just as forgetful as those who are approaching 60.
I don't know about that.
More than half struggle to find the right word at least once a week, and 50% also can't remember why they entered a room, according to a recent study. Some 40% of 20-somethings misplace their phone at least weekly, and 17% admit losing it several times each week. Edinburgh researchers found that memory lapses were as common in young people as they were among those in their 50s. But the good news is that one doctor said, I think people think that if you start to forget things, something like misplacing your keys, that it's something to worry about. But it's not. It's normal.
I never understand why people just don't put their keys in the same place all the time.
Oh, you can't do that because you get distracted.
Do you?
Well, when you walk in, I don't know, if something happens and you just...
It becomes a sort of habit, doesn't it? I mean,
I know, but your intention might be that, but if something interrupts your train of thought,
I suppose so. But I mean,
and you might just put them down the back of the sofa, for example.
No, when I come in the front door, I put my keys in my work bag straight away.
You're just so organised.
I know, but I do feel, well, that's because otherwise I would forget where I put them, you see. So.
I do it every morning. I search everywhere for my keys.
Bit of palaver in the lift this morning in coming up from the car park.
Oh, why? What happened?
My face mask got stuck in the zip of my bag. I couldn't get it out. I was fiddling around with it for about 10 minutes because I didn't have another one. And I only had the one mask with me, so...
Well, at least it was just your face mask and your bag. Poor Lucky's lead got stuck in the door when it closed the other day.
Outside or inside?
Inside the lift. So I didn't realise that the lead had, you know, it's one of those ones that you can extend as and when you wish. And it had extended a bit too far, and the door closed, and the lead went in, and poor Lucky went up against the door, but I managed to set her free.
Good for you. Well done. License to the rescue again.